You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
To know or to beknow, that is not the question. But we do see some variation between unbeknown and unbeknownst.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth. Joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hello, Ann.
Hi, Rebecca.
This week's question comes from a listener named Randy. Randy says, I just read a piece in a major newspaper that read like this, and unbeknown to her, he was married. Randy says, unbeknown? I didn't even know it was a word, let alone a preferred word versus unbeknownst in this newspaper's usage guide. What's up with that? What is up with that, Anne?
Let's start with your gut feeling on this, Rebecca. Unbeknown, unbeknownst?
I think if I were talking, I would probably say unbeknownst. It sounds like the older and fancier of the two, but I feel like I've seen it in books, you know, in literature so many times. It's just kind of ingrained.
And you would be on the cutting edge in your use of unbeknownst. And I agree with you that it does sound older. But the fact is that unbeknownst is actually newer than unbeknown, and it is only quite recently that it has been on the rise, displacing unbeknown. Let's back up, because you know I love to do history here. These both go back to a verb that is a great verb, which is beknow.
I like
that. Would you like to be able to... So to beknow was to become acquainted with or to recognize. And you did have beknown, but that is listed in the Oxford English Dictionary as archaic.
That's too bad, because I could say something like, beknown to me, they had changed the location of the party. So everything was okay because I knew about it.
But it was unbeknown to me.
Ah, dear.
And unbeknown is still around. Unbeknown first shows up in 1636 to talk about things we don't have knowledge of. And here's an example from 1945 in the Baltimore Sun. That this number is insufficient is being quietly demonstrated at the present, unbeknown to the general public. Then you get unbeknownst, which is a synonym. It first shows up in 1848 in a letter from E.C. Gaskell. This is the first citation in the Oxford English Dictionary. And the quote is, "You don't see me, but I often am sitting in the rocking chair unbeknownst to you." Now, I will say we are not sure where the ST came from, why it got added to unbeknown. We do have other words that have that final ST, such as amidst or amongst or whilst. With those words, that S is an adverbial form. It's the adverbial genitive. And then the T got added. But that is not what's happening here from what we can tell with unbeknown. But that ST got added. And then usage commentators, I have to say, have not liked unbeknownst. It has been described as humorous, uneducated, colloquial. But Rebecca, I want to go back to something you said, which is, I feel like I see it in literature.
Yeah, like in classics, you know, where the language is fancier.
Right, that it feels fancier. And when you look in Google Books at the millions of books we have in there, unbeknownst has taken off, and it is now more common than unbeknown, really starting in the 1980s until now. And Rebecca, as I was thinking about this, I found myself thinking about hoomst, which is a delightful word that actually has been created in the last 5 years as a form that is addressing confusion between who and whom and the fanciness of whom. And if you're going to be fancy, let's just go with hoomst. And there's memes, and I think hoomst is a wonderful addition to the language. But to go back to unbeknown and unbeknownst, at this point, we should say that both are standard. Unbeknownst appears to be a little more common in American English, unbeknown in British English, but fair to say they're both standard.
Well, I like to be fancy, so I am sticking with unbeknownst. Thanks so much, Anne.
Have a good one.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.